ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे उदयात् ओम शांति 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 When we offer salutations to the Guru, Guruhu, we say this, Sva Swarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. Sva Swarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. I'll repeat it. Sva Swarupa Nirupana Hetave Gurave Namaha. So, Namaha means salutations, obeisance to the Guruhu. Gurave, Guruhu, now you all know definitely, Guruhu Ukarantaha Pullingaha Guru Shabdaha Tasya Shabdasya Chaturthi Vibhaktau Eka Vachane Gurave Iti Rupam. So, Gurave is the fourth case form. Gurave to the Guru. Salutations unto the Guru. Gurave Namaha. Obeisance to the Guru. Who is this Guru? The rest of the sentence, rest of the words, the description of the Guru. Adjective for the word Gurave. Sva Swarupa Nirupana Hetave. So one compound. Sva Swarupa Nirupana Hetave. This is also in the fourth case. So what is the nominative form? Sva Swarupa Nirupana Hetuhu. Hetuhu also is what? Ukaranta Shabda. So Hetuhu means cause. The reason, something being instrumental, nimittam, nimittarthe hetu, chabdaha. What is the cause for this to happen? When you ask, hetuhu. What is the reason? Say hetu. Hetuhu means reason. Reason means what? Not reasoning. The cause. What made something happen? Hetuhu. Or what is instrumental in making this happen? No? So hetuhu means we have different meanings. But here hetuhu, hetave gurave namaha. Salutations unto the Guru. Who is instrumental in what? Nirupanam. Nirupanam means Nirupayati is a verb. Nirupayati means proves. Establishes. In Tamil also we have it. Nirupikriya. Nirupa. That's different meaning. Formless. Nirupa is a formless. But here, Nirupayati is a verb. No? Nirupayati. Nirupanam, gerund. Proving, establishing. So for one to have the established, doubt-free, clear vision of the truth obtaining as one's own self, the Guru is instrumental. So, salutations unto the Guru, who is instrumental in having clear vision. Guru Nirupayati, he proves through teaching, isn't it? What does he, Kim Nirupayati, what does he help you ascertain? No, he establishes means, what does he help you ascertain, assimilate? Swarupam, essential nature, the truth. So essential nature of whom? Swa, one's own. Swa, swarupa, nirupanam. Swa swarupam nirupayitum hetuhu yaha saha swa swarupa nirupana hetuhu. The one, salutations unto the Guru who is instrumental in establishing the essential nature of one's own self. In establishing means in helping us ascertain, isn't it? This is the meaning. So this really understand the meaning only when swaswarupam becomes nirupitam. Only when swaswarupam, one's own swarupam becomes nirupitam, is established, it's ascertained, then only the sentence will be a fact for you. So Guru is not Guru cannot make you ascertain. He's instrumental in establishing the real nature, the truth of one's own self. So this very sentence is the proof. I'm taking you to Aham Brahmasmi, okay? Is the proof that the reality has to be arrived at, understood, assimilated as obtaining as one's own self. When you say one's own self, see, reality being one's own self has to be arrived at, understood means we have to see definitely the reality being the substance of the substantive I. Every word is a substantive. When you say mic, the word mic, immediately it takes you to the object. Swing, we never had this in another class. The swing, if I say, the word should take you to this object. Wall, tree, garden, flower, tea. Any word I say, immediately the word makes you connect the meaning of the word, isn't it? So this object, the obtaining in a given form, is the substance for its corresponding substantive mic. Like that, there's a substance for every substantive. But what is the substance of this substantive I? First person singular pronoun I. Without being taught, without being told, in our understanding, the body is always the substance. Body is taken to be the substance of the substantive I. And taking this body as a substance of the substantive I, say that's it, all the transactions are happening in the world. Not only this body, along with this body, the sense powers are also taken to be substantive, substances. Of course, the mind, of course, the different emotions, all the subtle and the gross aspects, the factors, different factors, different distinct factors, but which are inseparably together, all these subtle and gross factors, you know, which form the individual are taken to be the substance of the substantive I. Is it wrong? No. In Vyavahara, it is a must. Of course, the body is I, mind is I, sense organs are I, everything is I. Therefore, it is nothing wrong in taking them, but this much alone is not I. These are the relative appearances of the I. Physical body, relative appearance of the I. One of the relative appearances of the I. But what is this I actually, essentially, absolutely? It is not known. How many times we listen, still it needs to be listened to, it needs to be understood, it needs to be assimilated. So only in assimilating this, the problem can be resolved. We do not even know there's a problem, and how it is this problem which gives rise to all other problems. So we need not really sort out all the problems in the world. Relatively, you do the needful to sort out the problems. That's a different thing. But emotional, I'm talking about the emotional issue. It's not a very big issue that people, you know, totally lost is a different thing. But here, if the mind should not be agitated and disturbed, definitely this fundamental problem has to be sorted out. And the whole teaching is to sort out the fundamental problem. We have to accept, first of all, understand the fundamental problem, accept the fundamental problem, then you can sort out the fundamental problem. Acceptance itself is not there. Understanding itself is not there. How can you accept the problem? If you don't accept the problem, how can you resolve the problem? The three things are important, isn't it? So initially, we do not even understand the fundamental problem. Why? Because we do not even know there is a fundamental problem. There is ignorance of the fundamental problem, lack of understanding of the fundamental problem, non-acceptance of the fundamental problem, therefore not being able to sort out the fundamental problem. This is the problem. Actually, what actually is the problem? Ignorance of the problem is the first problem. Non-understanding of the problem, lack of understanding of the problem is the second problem. non-acceptance of the problem is the third problem. Not being able to sort out the problem is the fourth problem. This is how a human problem is. So first of all, the ignorance of the problem has to be resolved. There must be knowledge of the problem. Okay, knowledge of the problem, that there is a problem. And that is what Vedanta Shastram does. Vedanta Shastram first helps us understand our problem. There is a problem. Vedanta tells us that there is a problem. After telling us there is a problem, helps us understand the problem. Once we understand the problem alone, we accept our problem as a problem. Then we make genuine effort to resolve the problem. Then that is how. Then after resolving the problem, we see where was the problem. There wasn't a problem at all. Swamiji used to say, psychology does not have a solution and Vedanta doesn't see one, doesn't see the problem. Psychology does not have a solution for the problem. Vedanta does not see the problem at all. That you can say when? After seeing this resolving this problem. You see, there was no problem at all. To find out the problemlessness, you have to resolve this problem. Isn't it? To discover the problem being not there at all, you have to resolve this problem. So Shastra's emphasis is in the heart of the heart, genuinely, there's nobody who has hatred towards anybody in the world. Honestly, there's no ill feeling towards anybody in the world. Anything is pure, any hurtful behavior, anything is only expression of one's wrong perception of the world. And for which it is impossible for you to have a different perspective of the world. You cannot change. How many of our glasses, specs change also? Spectacles change. I see the same thing. Because the problem is not in my external and externally what I see. The problem is not in the world. The problem is not even my sense organs, how I see, how I perceive. The problem is actually in my very understanding. So, without blaming the world, it is not possible for me to change my perception of the world, unless I change perception of myself first. And for which here, the fundamental problem means there is samsaraha, and samsaraha is there. Like this is not the first life. This life which you are living is not the first life. It is not definitely the last life. This is not the last life. Oh, I finished everything. Bye. I'll go. No. This is not the last life. This is not the first life. This is one of the innumerable countless lives. We cannot know how many have gone before, how many are going to come in later on. We are living our lives. That is why, how do we say we do not know? Because this life itself is a cycle. No, which has no beginning, no end. I've been telling you many times, but we have to see the fact. This is, do we know this? Do you all know that this is not the very first life? Do you know that this is not the last life? Now we know. Which means there were lives before, there are going to be lives afterwards also. After this life there will be many lives. Before this there were many lives. We do not know the first, which is the first. We cannot say which is the first. We cannot say which is going to be the last. But we can say which is going to be the last. Which is the last? The life in which you know what is only truth. If you discover the source of life, the source of all knowledge, the truth of everything, as your own real nature, that is the life Shastram says will be the last. Not life last, the last birth. We must be there for us to experience the world, isn't it? That's why we say it's a chakram. Chakram. And because it is beginningless, endless, it is likened to an ocean also. Samsaraha is always likened to a sagaraha, samudraha. Why? Because of its beginninglessness, because of the endlessness, and something vast and big and huge, Shastra wants to compare. So it compares this to samsara, to life of transmigration, to the ocean, samudra. And here, this samsara, this life of transmigration, beginningless, endless samsara, no, this a continuously there will be life. In this life of human, a human being has to go through life of pains and pleasures. There will be pairs of opposites. There will not be only a life of pains, there will not be a life of pleasures, there will be both. The proportion may vary from person to person. Everyone has to go through in one's own way this pairs of opposites. And what is undesirable is going through pairs of opposites is not desirable. Are the pairs of opposites desirables are acceptable, undesirables are not acceptable. Pleasure is okay, success is okay, victory is okay, but no defeat, no failure, no pain, no loss. It's always, but this is how the life is. And here, this going through pairs of opposites itself is determined by the laws. What determines everyone, whatever one goes through emotionally and even externally, what one enjoys, everything is absolutely determined by the law. Every small thing that is happening for anyone and everyone, everything in this world is determined by law. Even if we do not see the law through physical eyes, we cannot. Definitely there is a law which determines everything. Every tiniest pleasure we have, there's a law. So nothing enjoys existence here outside of the law and order. So everything is perfect. There's no imperfection in the order. There is no imperfection in the order. Which means, everything comes back. It's whatever all of us are going through in our own way, everything has its own, you know, cause behind it. And whatever comes, it has taken its own time to fructify for us to be here, to enjoy or to go through. And even whatever is ordained by this law is there, that's all. What the external situation need not disturb us at all. Whatever is ordained by the law, whatever comes actually, happens externally, that in no way, it need not affect us at all. The world is in perfect order. So what is externally there, whatever situations are there externally, whether the wind blows, whether it rains, or the tempest, whether there is, you know, whatever is there outside, nothing needs to affect us. As things can happen, the seasons change, everything changes, that is how the order is. Externally, what is happening need not affect us at all. Will not affect us also if there is objectivity. The problem is every change outside also is in fact becomes instrumental in our afflictions. So this is where Shastram comes to tell us. It is purely because of internalization of the situations. We internalize the situations. That is the way that there are problems. How can I avoid internalizing the situations? Not that I want to internalize. Helplessly, I internalize. Choicelessly, I internalize. And his internalization itself is purely because of this fundamental problem. So in deep rooted problem you have, you think I am small, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am insignificant. If this is there deep, you know, you don't think about all the time, but it is there naturally. Having these notions, naturally there is a fundamental problem. Therefore, fundamental problem has to be sorted out. So this sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, see, insecurity is centered on I. Sense of insecurity is centered on I. How are we going to say, irrespective of what I have, what I don't have, can you say, I am secure? Not simply saying, I am secure. I am secure, that may be expressed in my day-to-day life and behavior. If you are absolutely secure, I tell you, the world in no way affects you. The problem is there is sense of insecurity centered on I. Just take only insecurity. This is the main problem. Leave alone smallness and other things. The sense of insecurity centered on I. I am insecure. I am small, I am inadequate, that's another problem. But basically, I am insecure. Even if you say, I don't feel secure. No, I don't feel insecure. If you say, the expression itself is sense of insecurity. I'm okay. I don't feel insecure. If somebody says, that very expression is an expression of what? Expression of sense of insecurity. So this, as long as sense of insecurity is there, definitely you will be subject to get afflicted by the external situations. You can't help internalizing situations. And this is the fundamental problem. And this is the sense of insecurity centered on I is because of the phenomenon called fear. And the fear is definitely of death. How can you resolve the fundamental problem of sense of insecurity centered on I? I'm going to take one by one, okay? Inadequacy, everything separately. The sense of insecurity centered on I has to be resolved for good. This can be resolved only when the phenomenon called fear is resolved for good. So, resolving the sense of insecurity centered on I, in terms of I am insecure. There is this problem, we do not see this. I've been talking to you for many years I've been talking to you. But do we see this problem? Do you accept that there's this problem? Please, you have to see. Shastram says there is this common, it's not just your problem, it's a common human fundamental problem of sense of insecurity centered on I. Is there or not? In terms of I am insecure. Irrespective of all the social security I'm promised by the government, in spite of. So this insecurity, this fundamental problem is, what caused this fundamental problem, which we do not know. We just is there. And the Shastram says, as long as the phenomenon called fear is there, and the fear, understand this fear. Fear is a subtlest phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, is an emotion which rises. In sleep, there's no fear. In sleep, thank God, that's why we like sleep. In sleep, who has fear? It's not sleep then. It's not worth sleeping. In sleep, there is no fear. Which means, whatever is not in sleep, and whatever is there in the waking, is said to be in the form of a thought. Rises in the form of a thought. When you don't pay attention, it is as though not there, but it is. In sleep, it is resolved. In waking, when attention is diverted, so many other things are holding attention. This fear, as though there is no fear, as though you feel secure, really speaking, there is fear. And this phenomenon called fear, you know, gets triggered in different occasions, you fall sick, you can sit in degree of fear popping up. You know, if you hear somebody very close to you is not well, the fear comes up. Fear does come. Sometimes something happens on the roadside, the fear comes up. Some people, that fear comes up even when they happen to see some tiny insects in the food. Fear comes up. There's so many things, different situation, different things can trigger that dormant phenomenon called fear. A certain degree of fear comes up. But Shastram says, this phenomenon called fear will be there as long as, no? So the sense of insecurity centered on I will be there as long as the phenomenon called fear is there. And if, as fear will be there, whatever is the external situation, if triggers the fear, certain degree of fear surfaces, means the fear will be there. Whatever you do, the fear will not go away from you. The sense of insecurity will not. You can never become free from sense of insecurity centered on I, unless and until the phenomenon called fear is resolved. So insecurity is expression of the fear. So when whatever you do and anything you do can divert your attention from fear, can help you forget the fear. Okay? You can forget the fear, therefore you may think of there's no fear. But it's not the situation. Actually, really, fear will be there. And how long fear will be there? I told you many times before when I explained to you the Mrityunjaya Mantra, the phenomenon called fear will be there as long as fear of death is there. The fear of death is there, phenomenon called fear will be there. As long as fear is there, sense of insecurity will be there. Why I'm talking, you know? Very important. You don't need to. This is just being with the teaching. See, I accept the death. I'm prepared to die. People say all these things. What choice do you have? We don't accept the death because we know we can't escape. So we also say proudly, I'm ready to go. I accept the death. I'm ready to go. People do talk like this. But really speaking, because we say we understand our helplessness, there's no choice. Death is inevitable. Death is unavoidable. No choice. Therefore, we accept it, not because we accept it with understanding. We understand because of helplessness. And therefore, people simply say, I'm ready to go. I have no problem. I'm ready tomorrow. I can go even this minute. People may say this. But really speaking, fear, if that preparedness is there, means there's no fear of death. So fear of death, as long as it is there, definitely there is fear. So whenever any small thing triggers the fear, some fear comes in your mind. You don't need to tell me when, where, how. Whenever, any time, the fear comes in your mind. No, please understand, it is the symptom of the expression of the fear, the phenomenon called fear, the fear of death. Basically. Why do I say this? Shastram tells, I am not telling you. The fear of death, it is the death. Death is instrument. Okay, death is actually nimittam. Death is causes the fear. Death causes fear. Suppose if you are free from the fear of death, then you are free from the hold of phenomenon called fear for good. There will not be fear. Then fear, when you're fast asleep, there's no fear. In waking also, fear will not be there at all. See, we all have tremendous fearlessness also. I'm not saying, the certain degree of fearlessness we have, but we can't say you're absolutely fearless. We do have a degree of security, we feel secure, we are fearless, but we are not absolutely fearless. Absolute fearlessness, utter fearlessness is possible only when this phenomenon called fear does not rise at all, it is resolved for good. So, to sort out this fundamental problem of sense of insecurity centered on I, you know, the very phenomenon called fear has to be resolved for good, and for this phenomenon called fear to be resolved for good, the fear of death has to be resolved, because the root cause of the fear, fear of death is the root cause of the fear. And the fear of death can be resolved only when we understand death. And so Shastram tells, death is nothing but change, big change. Birth is a change, death is a change. Change. And change is the unchangeable nature of the nature. Of the matter. You see, death is a change. And the change happens on the part of what? Change is always in the part of the matter. Inert material aspects. Matter is of the nature of undergoing the change. That's why birth is change. Even before the birth, this matter in a given form, and after the birth also, but birth itself is a change. After the birth, the many changes happen in between birth and death, and birth death is another big change, where the material form collapses and disintegrates and completely different. The problem is, when this change happens, you know, completely the whole connection with the world is snapped. We are cut off from the world is cut off from us. That is what is undesirable. No more connection. It's a fact. So if that is the unchangeable nature of the matter, therefore this anything material has to undergo change means everything in the world materially subject to change. So body is material in nature, it has to change. The mind changes, thoughts change, sense powers change. Change means what? They all have to resolve, disintegrate. Everything has to disintegrate. The subtle matter continues to be there. Okay, the change happens on the part of the matter, so what? Why should there be fear? The fear is because I take the material form, material body for the as the substance of the substantive I. Okay? But as long as I take this physical form and other material aspects as a substance of the substantive I, there will be fear of death, that I am going to die, which means, isn't it, this is centered on I. The sense of insecurity is centered on I, that is the problem. I am going to die is the problem. Therefore, the whole teaching is for us to see this non-distensible I, distinguish the non-distensible I from the rest of the aspects which form the human being. All the different components, different aspects, different factors, which are all put together intelligently as an individual being, from there we have to see the I sense being distinct. If the I sense is distinguished cognitively, we can if you understand I sense being distinct from this, then what this I actually is, if we see, definitely I is the only truth, only reality, which is the source of life. I is the source of life. I is the source of existence. And it is this I which doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. This I is subject to change. I actually is eternal. I is indestructible. I has no beginning, no change, no end. Actually, I is ever free. I is the very source of everything. So, it's important to understand, distinguish the I from everything to understand what I is. To understand I being the source of everything, I can understand I being the existence of everything, I being eternal, all pervasive everything, very source, only when you understand what I is. And understanding this, naturally, we don't need to drive anything. Fear resolves. When the fear of death resolves, that I is not subject to death. I am not subject to death. I am not subject to birth. Na jayate, na mriyate. We read 72nd chapter of Gita. After reading it one verse, you all must have become absolutely fearless. One verse is enough. If a preparedness was there, that verse was enough. Na jayate, na mriyate, va kadachit, nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha, ajaha nityaha, shashvataha puranahayam, na hanyate, harire hanyamane. When you read it, that one verse would have been enough for us to be absolutely become fearless. No, we have learnt it, memorized it, we know the grammatical aspect of it, the meaning of it, we know the meaning, we understand the meaning, we can also teach meanings, we can also talk to other people about the meaning, but are we free from fear of death? Because assimilation. Assimilation is possible only if we repeatedly dwell upon it. Contemplation is a must. I suddenly thought that getting older, there was no time, and I would not waste time anymore. So that every class, people should be with the teaching, go back with some ascertainment. The class must be a class of contemplation. Even though my actual interest is only in continuing the Brihad, but I want to tell you this. It's all Aham Brahmasmi only. Is the I born? No. Does the I die? No. Does the I undergo changes? No. But do we know this? Are you sure about it? I doesn't grow. There's no such thing of metamorphosis on the part of I. But without this I, there can't be something called birth or death or change or nothing is possible. So what is this I? Definitely it is important to understand this I. You cannot physically separate the I from the individual being. You know, when I tell you, come on, remove this from here. Physically you can shift it from here to there. Physically we cannot take and uproot and unroot and pull the I away from the body, mind, sense complex. No. It is not physically distensible. At the same time, it is distinct. In what form does this I obtain? This I is distinct from this grossest physical body, the sense powers and all the emotions, everything. You know, this I is always there. Beginninglessly there, endlessly there. Indestructibly there. So this I is see, when the wave form goes, what happens to the water? Similarly, when the manifestation of knowledge in terms of I rises, you only understand it is subtle. There is world, there is everything. I resolves, the world disappears. So what is this I? In fact, this has to be very clear. And that is what Shastram says, Tattvamasi, you are that, means you have to claim I am that. And that implies Brahma. And Brahma again is only a word. Brahma is again nothing but a word. Again, another substantive doesn't indicate any form here. All the forms are Brahma. You can say, this is Brahma, this is Brahma, this is Brahma, this is Brahma, that is Brahma, Akasha is Brahma, Akasham Brahma, Vayuhu Brahma, Agnihi Brahma, Apaha Brahma, Prithvi Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Living being is Brahma, non-living thing is Brahma. Everything is Brahma, Brahma, Brahma. Everything is Brahma here. Everything is Atma here. You can say, this is a fact. This is a fact. Absolutely, this is a fact. Everything here is Brahma. There's nothing which is not Brahma here. But Brahman is not anything here. Isn't it? Everything is Brahma, Brahman is not anything. Which means there's nothing, the word Brahma, when you say Mike, there's a substance. Brahma, what is the substance? Phone, substantive, this is substance. What is the substance of this word Brahma? The word Brahma reveals the reality. Every word should reveal something. Word reveals. Word is a revealer. That's why it's called padam. Padyate anena iti padam. That by which something becomes revealed, arrived at, reached. That's why it's called word. Padam in Sanskritam, beautiful. Padyate anena iti padam. That by which something is arrived at, reached, understood, revealed, is called padam. Everything. So Brahma also is a padam which reveals. But what does it reveal? It doesn't reveal any form. It reveals absolutely formless reality. And what is revealed by this word Brahman is absolutely formless reality. How does it reveal? It reveals formless reality in terms of its nature. Only in terms of its nature. Nature of limitlessness. Limitlessness. Limitlessness, again, how? For which the three words are used? Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. First, it reveals, Upanishad again gives a clue for us. What is revealed by the word Brahma in terms of its nature? That which is of the nature of limitlessness. And that which is nature of limitlessness means that which is of the nature of existence. And what is that which is of the nature of existence and limitlessness? You have to arrive at only in terms of its nature of knowing as pure knowledge. Therefore, the formless reality which has to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. There is no way. Here, right now you understand and go. Again, no doubt. We arrive at reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. All the prakriyas you would have already understood through the prakriyas. We do arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. That is why then we use this term jnanam, chaitanyam. And it is this pure knowledge, it is the reality which is of the nature of knowing, is the only source of all knowledge. It is knowledge of the existence of the self, it is knowledge of the existence of the world, it is knowledge of any detailed knowledge of anything in the existence of the, anything which exists in the world. It is this formless reality, arrayed in terms of its nature of knowing, is the only source of all forms of knowledge. There is no art, fine art, commerce, mathematics, or science. Any amount of detailed knowledge of subtlest and subtle knowledge of facts. Anything within the, anything in the world, existent in the world, everything, for everything, the only source of knowledge is this formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Understand? Therefore, reality doesn't say, I am the knower. Reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, that which obtains as the knower, the one who, I can't even say who, that which obtains as the knower, that obtains enjoying the status of being the knower, is none other than the reality. There is no knower other than the reality. Whoever says, I know this, whoever says, that knower who says, I know, what enables one to say, I know, that knower is actually this reality only. The standpoint of reality, there is no knower. The standpoint of the known, we can understand as a knower. And that knower is this reality, pure knowledge. There is no knower other than the pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, we have to see here, if the knower is, there's no knower other than the reality, the consciousness. And it is this conscious reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, reality which is of the nature of knowing. This pure knowledge, pure consciousness is the essential nature of I, swarupam of I. I is consciousness. I am consciousness. Absolutely, when you absolutely, I is consciousness. If I am consciousness, means I is resolved in consciousness. Once you say I am consciousness, there is consciousness. And you can see this consciousness is the source of everything, means I am the source of everything. When you say I am the source of everything, you are saying your I identity is not with the body mind complex, it is, isn't it? You see that swarupam of I being consciousness, the source of everything. Therefore, everything comes and goes in awareness. Therefore, the source of knowledge doesn't come and go. The knowledge comes and goes. The knowledge which comes and goes is manifest knowledge. The source of knowledge doesn't come and go. Okay? The knowledge comes and goes. Therefore, the known also comes and goes. The knowledge comes and goes. The knowledge which comes and goes is a manifest knowledge. The source of knowledge which does not come and go is pure knowledge. Jnanam Brahma. Because the knowledge, manifest knowledge comes and goes, we say, the known also comes and goes. And this is how it is always. There is no known outside of the knowledge. There is no knowledge outside of the source of knowledge. There is no knower, there is no knowledge, there is no known outside of the source of knowledge. The knower is the source of knowledge, the pure knowledge. The knowledge is the source, this pure knowledge is the source of all knowledge. The known, the source of all known also is the pure knowledge. For there's no, nothing which is outside of this knowledge. It is this knowledge where time comes and goes, space comes and goes. You know, we don't even know how vast this space is. This vast space which you do not know where it begins, where it ends, that space comes and goes. Time comes and goes, and everything which exists within the realm of time and space comes and goes. What does not go, does not come, is this formless, abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, implied by the word pure jnanam. It is this knowledge. Therefore, now you can understand how it is limitless. See it? Time is limitless, spatially limitless, object is limitless. Therefore, why it is limitless? Why it has no time? Because being limitless is the nature. Why? Being the very truth of time, source of time, being the source of knowledge of time, it is truth of time. Being the source of space, knowledge of space, it is truth of space. Being the source of knowledge of anything and everything in the world, it is the truth of everything in the world. Being the source of knowledge is being the truth. We understand this line. Being the source of knowledge of anything is being the truth of anything. being the source of knowledge of time is being the truth of time. Being the source of knowledge of space is being the truth of space. Being the source of knowledge of anything and everything is being the truth of anything and everything. So it's only truth of time and space, only truth of everything. Therefore, it is free from everything. And being free from everything is freedom. Freedom is its nature. Being free is its swarupam. Being free means being limitless. Got it now? I want you to understand how the word limitlessness and freedom are synonyms. Do you see that now? Right now, if you don't see, please tell me. I'll continue again next class. You should see freedom is swarupam, Brahma swarupam. Being free is being limitless. Being free from a limitation. Being free means what? Free from everything. Because it is the truth of everything. Being the truth of everything is being free from everything. Being free from everything means what? Being the truth of everything means being the source of knowledge of everything. Hope you understood the line again. Being the source of knowledge of everything is the being the truth of everything. Being the truth of everything is being free from everything. Being free is freedom. Freedom is equal to limitlessness. Being free is being limitless. And freedom is equal to limitlessness. Okay. Therefore, you are Brahma. You are freedom. You are limitlessness. You are moksha. I know a lot of things are repeated, but this same thing I cannot talk in the very first class. Repeated listening is important for me to talk to you like this. I really want you to see this. Being the source of knowledge. I really want you to dwell upon this. What is the source of knowledge? I am is knowledge. The world is knowledge. When you go to universities, colleges, labs, all experiments, all, you know, researchers, you can know more and more and more and more. How much ever you know, minutely, deeply, elaborately, in details, any amount of knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. It's all vrityatmakam, vritti rupam. Only in the form of vritti, any detail, information you gather is actually rise from thought only. It's all manifestation. How do you say it's all manifestation? You fall asleep. What happens? If in sleep also, in sleep it is not. What is not in sleep, it is there in waking, means that is manifest knowledge. So what is there in sleep also, when there is no manifestation of knowledge of anything, what is the pure knowledge. How do you say there is a pure knowledge? This pure knowledge, unfortunately we don't know pure knowledge is. Shastram helps us to locate pure knowledge. We only know, there's only ignorance. And there's observer of ignorance, knower of ignorance. That knower is pure knowledge. Isn't it? And it's a source of knowledge. Therefore, any knowledge of anything is manifest knowledge. the source of knowledge is the truth of knowledge, truth of everything. And that truth is what? Free from everything. Therefore, being free is nature. Therefore, being free is being limitless. Therefore, freedom is limitlessness. And once you understand you are the truth, you have to say everything here is nothing but the truth. But the truth is not anything. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi. It's only contemplative sessions based on this Mahavakyam, Aham Brahma Asmi. We'll be saying it again and again and again in every class for some time. So I had to show you what all Shankara says there. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.